This evening we're going to start in Romans chapter 4, picking up where we left off last week, looking at church ordinances, specifically baptism, what it is and what it isn't. Before we do so, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to be back here this evening. Father, we thank you for the services we've had so far today and the privilege it is to be in your house. We thank you for the week of VBS. Father, I ask that you might bring those seeds that were planted, bring them to fruition, Lord, and we might see the fruits of our labor, and just be with our preparations now for camp. More lost souls that we'll be trying to reach, Father, and might have a good week. And as devotional we saw, Father, it might be able to remove ourselves as hindrances, Father, that week, and all come with the right frame of mind and desire to draw closer to you and to see lost souls saved. Be with the prayer requests, especially those that are not with us this evening. And we ask you to sing in your son's precious name. Amen. So, baptism, what it is, what it isn't. We started looking last week that it doesn't save us. We've got some verses that could be taken out of context that would show otherwise. And then we finished up last week in Romans 5, verses 8 and 9, that we were justified by blood. We're not justified by baptism. So now in Romans chapter 4, we're going to continue that thought. And it's different seeing Brother Lucas up front. So Brother Lucas, if you could read Romans 4, verses 2 and 3.
That's why I moved.
So you could read first?
I read first.
All right. That's a good reason.
Verse 2 and 3?
Yep.
For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt.
Okay. Thank you. So we see here Abraham believed God, and that's what that was the key. It's not by what Abraham did. Because obviously that test that he had was also proof of his faith, faith of that works, obviously. But it was the believing that counted unto it was counted unto him for righteousness. Not the doing part. So belief and faith result in salvation or being righteous or righteousness, not baptism again. Let's go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Very familiar verse that we look at, what's involved with salvation, and you'll see that baptism is not here. Sister Lonnie, if you could read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9.
So by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast.
Okay, so baptism is a work that can be boasted of. It is not part of salvation, Brother Lucas.
Yeah, and if you're wondering if this gift in verse 8 is a free gift, back in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, it says, being justified freely by his grace. It is a free gift.
It is free.
Like any true
nothing
gift
that we have to do other than believe and call on his name. Very good point. So those that mix baptism with salvation are missing the point of salvation being free and the price being paid by the Lord. So being righteous, nothing that we could have done being made righteous but by the blood of Jesus. So baptism is a work that can be boasted of, and so there in Ephesians 2:9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, I got saved because I'm baptized. I got baptized, so I'm saved. And it was all because of me. I came forward to be baptized. That's not... God knows how we would act, and when it comes to salvation, that's why he's removed all works from salvation. It is all through his Son. He should receive the glory from it. No man. Let's go back to Romans chapter 4. Should have told you to hold your finger in there. But Sister Kathy, if you can read Romans chapter 4, verses 21 through 25.
Believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Okay. So again, no work or deed mentioned for salvation that we've looked at. Only complete faith in what Jesus had already done. Just as Abraham was saved through faith, we are saved the same way. It was imputed unto him for righteousness because of his faith. And it was not written for his sake alone, but also for us. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, we also might be raised up when he returns. So again, no work or deed mentioned for salvation, but again, baptism being a work, a demonstration that we can perform after salvation. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 35 to start another thought. Baptism does not change our salvation. We're saved before we're baptized. Just as when Jesus was baptized, it didn't really alter him from being the Son of God. He was the Son of God before he was baptized. Yeah. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Brother Ron.
And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which thou shall be born unto thee, shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God.
Okay, so when Jesus was born, he was the Son of God. He didn't become the Son of God because of baptism or any other action on his part. He always was the Son of God. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Sister Shelley, if you could read Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17.
Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Okay, thank you. Every time I read these verses, I always wonder, for someone that's not sure if they should be baptized or not. But the Father was so pleased with the Son because of this act of obedience and it being an example for us today. Verse 17, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You could put your own name in there if you're wondering, well, should I be, how's God going to feel if I get baptized? Anyway, another, yes.
When you think about it, he was God. Mm-hmm. What? Why would he have to be baptized? Baptized into what? You know, this was the perfect example as to why we need to be baptized into his New Testament church.
Yeah. Jesus wasn't baptized to become the Son of God. He was already the Son of God. And it was so, his example to us is, after becoming a child of God, to follow him in baptism to start our life of service for him. You could say he was starting his ministry. And so, you know, it's a picture of, for us starting our life of service, just as it was him starting his ministry. Again, it was done for our example. Rochelle's right. He was already the Son of God. He was going to start his ministry. He didn't need to do it. but to show the importance of it. I mean, we always say, well, how far did he walk from Galilee to Jordan? I think we always say 60 miles. It was important to the Lord to walk 60 miles. Will we walk 60 miles to be baptized? Well, we should have. Looking back in our own baptism, it should be that important to us to put ourselves in a position as an act of obedience to then take that next step and begin a life of service for Him. You know, we always say then it also puts us in a position to become church members, which we all know what door that opens up. Sister Kathy.
Not only the importance of it, but here we're given the method.
Yes.
Christ Himself, because if you come straight up, went up straightway out of the water, that means you were in it.
So He didn't come straightway up out of the sprinkling.
No.
Or the pouring on it. Yes, very good point. We're going to look later at the proper mode, and that's a very good point. The example here of he came up straightway out of the water. Imagine yourselves being submerged in a swimming pool or something. That's how you, that's the picture. You're coming up from underneath water, from being buried, coming up from the grave. Which you well know that the baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And they didn't bury people by sprinkling dirt on them or pouring dirt on them. They were buried. Very good point. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. Sister Rochelle, verse 43. Luke 23, 43.
And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
The two thieves on the cross. They were going to die. But Jesus tells the one of them that believed, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. How did he have time to be baptized? If baptism is for salvation.
Or works.
Or works. When did he have time to do some good works?
He had time for repentance.
He believed in the Lord as being his Savior, being able to save his soul, and he called upon him, and he was saved. And Jesus says, Today they'll be with me in paradise. Baptism was not part, good works are not part of salvation. Go Lucas.
Are you going to go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21?
I am now. I might have went there. I went there last week. 1 Peter 3:21. We were there last week. You were sick.
Did you go to Romans chapter 6?
Yep.
Okay.
1 through 4.
I'll be quiet.
That's okay.
Let's bring up 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 again. It's not in the putting away the filth of the flesh, it says, but an answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that it's the picture, and it's an outward showing of, hey, everybody, I'm saved. And this answer of a good conscience towards God, just getting saved is not the fullness of our purpose here in life, on this earth in life. You know, I've given this testimony before. I've never really understood that question. What's the meaning of life? What's my destiny? I don't know if anybody here believes in destiny. I don't understand that. Because I know what my fate is.
This is our destiny.
And I know what my purpose on earth is. I know what the meaning of life is. It's Jesus Christ. That's what the meaning of life is. And you're like, please, through His Word, you can study Him. Or through the study of His Word, you can actually serve Him as soon as the New Testament.
And if you wouldn't have been baptized, taking that step, you had to take the step, you wouldn't have fulfilled your destiny in this life, so to speak. You would go around not really walking the way God would have you to walk or live, fulfilling your potential that He has for you,
yep.
The run.
Well, that takes us right there. Ecclesiastes 12. That's the holy man.
Follow His commandments.
Obey God.
Conclusion of the matter.
It starts with that.
How do you
come to Christ as a person?
Yeah, how do you do that without taking that step after salvation and baptism? Mm-hmm. Very good. Yes, clearing of the conscience. And we did look at Romans 6:1-4 last week also. that we are baptized into or as a result of the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. We are publicly copying or following Jesus. Also, we are burying our old man and rising up in newness of life to then walk as Jesus walked. Again, we can't start doing that until we publicly declare it through our baptism.
As you mentioned, last week, Jesus set the example.
Yes.
He walked 60 miles to go to John the Baptist because he was the only one that would have the authority.
Yeah, we're going to.
He was God. He was already righteous. That wasn't why he did it.
We're going to look at the authority also, and very good point. It was so important that the right person do it that he walked 60 miles. He was the only one that had the authority at that time. Church wasn't started yet. God sent John the Baptist for a specific purpose to prepare the material for the church, which was baptism, was that process that John the Baptist was using. Nobody else had authority at that time. Everybody had to come to John the Baptist. In fact, it was a qualification to be an apostle. One must be ordained or baptized of John. Very good point. So again, there in Luke 23:43, should be black and white, actually it's in red, of showing us that you cannot work your way into heaven. You cannot get baptized into heaven because these thieves did not have a chance. Yes.
You know, I was presenting, some people came to my door and wanted to talk about the Lord with me, and so I obliged them and talked about the Lord with them, and they believed in salvation for baptism, or baptism for salvation. I presented this verse, and the rebuttal was, well, Jesus was here on earth at that time, he could do whatever he wanted. And so I presented to them, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And I said, he didn't do anything different on the earth than he does now. He was the same. And they walked away pretty confused, I think.
About were they Mormons?
No, I think they might have been.
Mormons baptized for the dead.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
And then they said they were sorry for baptizing some people. they baptized a bunch of dead Jews from the Holocaust, and the Jews got really upset about it. So they said sorry. Sorry about that.
Oops.
No, I'm serious. Like, I'm not joking. So, but I mean, don't allow, it sounds crazy for me to even say this, but don't allow people to sway your opinion on baptism, to sway your opinion on salvation. You know,
I look forward to those opportunities. I work from home, I'm home all day, and I get a lot of, I've been Jehovah's Witness lately. Mormons don't come anymore.
I have a doorknob like a target, as if you say, you see these people.
And the last two were two Jehovah's Witness ladies, and I stood there at the door for 40 minutes with them and had quite the discussion. I like those opportunities. You got to look at them as opportunities to.
They're coming to your house.
Share the gospel.
Wanting to talk about the Lord. Whether they believe in the same Jesus that you believe in, I think that's beside the fact of the matter that we're supposed to be persuading them.
Yeah. And they went away frustrated because he didn't like what I was saying, but anyway. Very beneficial. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Again, another verse showing that belief in Jesus' salvation seals us for eternity and not baptism. Brother Dan, can you read Ephesians 1, 13?
Whom he also trusted after that ye heard them. Ye also trusted after ye heard the word of the true, word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Okay, so it doesn't say after you were sealed or believed and baptized that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It was only after believing. Baptism was not needed to be have that sealing take place. So hopefully we see that. Acts chapter 16. Sister Pam, verses 30 and 31.
said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.
So we have the keeper of the prison here asking Paul and Silas how to be saved. And the jailer was told only to believe and he would have salvation. Didn't say anything about he'd be baptized here. That's not what is required. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now, his kids weren't going to be saved because the parents were saved. Don't take that out of context here. But obviously, if whoever believed were going to be saved. The key is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, not being saved. Romans 3, did we... Oh, let's go to Romans 3. I can't remember if Lucas already brought this up.
Romans what?
Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 28. Sister Diane, or Sister Pam, did you read?
I did.
Okay, Sister Diane, if you could read Romans 3, verses 24 through 28.
Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. For his boasting then, it is excluded by the law of works, nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Okay, thank you. Should be pretty self-explanatory here that we are made right by faith in Jesus, not by any work or deed done. Mm-hmm. There in verse 28 pretty much sums it up. Man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law or any kind of deeds, any kind of works. We should see that here. So, we've pretty much looked at what baptism is and what it isn't. Any questions? Anybody confused yet on baptism and not being part of salvation? Being a step after salvation that we take in obedience. Okay, then, we're going to look at the 5 points that comprise scriptural baptism. Anybody can name the 5? I know lots of people could, but... Sure.
We have to have a scriptural candidate.
Yep.
To begin with, we have to have...
Proper, I'll help him. Proper administrator.
Yep.
Super proper, sharp. Yeah, proper administrator. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But, at the hands of the New Testament Church, obviously, proper administrator, pastor, of course. I'm going completely blank. Oh, proper mode.
Proper mode, yeah, proper that's mode. What Kathy brought up.
And proper reason, which we've already looked at a little bit.
Yep, purpose.
Purpose.
Very good. Here's your Johnny on the spot. Okay, let's look at the first one, proper candidate. Matthew chapter 3. Brother Calvin, Matthew 3, verses 5 through 8.
Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance.
Okay, thank you. So what had to happen before John the Baptist would baptize anyone? They'd be saved. They have to give a testimony. They have to have fruits. Show fruits. Meet for repentance. And when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming up, he knew how they lived. He knew what they stood for. He wanted to see some proof that they were different. That they were saved, pretty much, I can say. But John required evidence of salvation before baptism. We do the same thing. When we have somebody come forward for baptism, what is the first thing we usually ask them?
Their testimony.
Testimony. Tell us how you got saved. It's not really a test or a quiz, but we want to know before we baptize anyone as a church that they are saved, that they can give it. They can go back to the point in time that they called upon the Lord to save their soul. Somebody had a hand. Oh, Brother Luke.
You could also go to the Ethiopian eunuch to show the same thing.
Yep, we're going to go there.
Okay.
Roman and Acts 8. Yep. Before that, let's go to Acts 2. I see any other hands? Okay. Acts 2. Sister Mabel, if you could read verse 38 of Acts 2.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, thank you. Peter admonishes baptism because of salvation. Repent and be baptized everywhere, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins. It's because you're saved, now be baptized, pretty much. That's the next step. It's always presented that way, always encouraged that way from the Word of God. Now let's go to Acts chapter 8. Brother Doug, you can read verses 36 and 37. Acts chapter 8.
And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Okay. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't have those verses on there. At least verse 38, 39, yeah.
And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were coming up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing.
I always like that last part, rejoicing, because he knew he was following in obedience to the Lord. You ever seen anybody sad after they got baptized? I haven't. You just know. I mean, it's that clear conscience that Brother Luke has brought up there in 1 Peter. Knowing that God's well pleased with something that you did, finally, something. I was able to do something after salvation to not really pay the Lord back, but, maybe pay him. You could think that way because you're acting in obedience and it's pleasing to God. But Philip here introduced the eunuch to the Lord. We know this reading that he was having trouble with reading there in Isaiah. And ends up that the eunuch believes. And then the next step is, he says, well, here's water. I'm saved. Why can't I be baptized now? And Philip baptizes him. But again, in verse 37, Philip first says, well, I'm not going to baptize you. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. In other words, Philip wasn't going to get the cart before the horse. I'm not going to baptize you unless I hear your testimony, or hear that you're saved. Again, that's the picture that we have. So the eunuch's belief in Jesus was a prerequisite to baptism. Yes, Brother Lucas.
I told you this morning in my devotional, I watched a video on some of the perverted words of God, but this verse 37 is left out of some of them. It's omitted in some of them.
They take the verse out of the Bible?
That's right. Oh yeah, the whole verse. And so if you read 36,
I can do that.
To be baptized, and skip 37 and go to 38, then he commanded that the chariot stand still. So baptism, salvation isn't, they're taking those things out, making salvation.
What about the verse that said don't take verses out?
Right.
You took those verses out?
Those are gone too.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. But what I'm saying is that.
Yeah.
That would mean they do the same thing in Acts chapter 16. That they only have a couple of verses.
They do.
Yeah.
And they do. And I don't want to get too far into it because I think that we're going to be looking at that video sometime here in the near future. But it's just not. It's not. I don't think it's as superficial as I thought that it was, these perverted words. I think that they're pointed. It's an intentional perversion of God's word to take salvation out of it, to make Christ not Christ.
So another attack by...
To make Satan Christ.
Sounds really? Like...
That sounds crazy,
well,
but...
It's more toward a shift in works than it is by faith.
And the shift to works is appealing to the flesh.
Exactly.
I can do something and not have to depend upon God.
Nobody wants to submit.
No.
Nobody wants to humble themselves. So, anyway, I don't want to go too far, but it'll go way off of your lesson. But
sounds like something you should see in a movie night or something. Revelation chapter 1. I mean, we talked a little bit last week on, we looked at some verses that you can get confused on. Taking verses out, I think, would be even a bigger confusion. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, my turn to read. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So, blood washes sin away, not water, not baptism. It's Jesus' blood that does all the work of saving us. Nothing about baptism doing that. We're going to look later at we already talked a little bit about the labor. What was the picture of the labor before the priest could enter in? It was to wash him so that he could be in a position to enter in to the, called the church, you know, the tabernacle itself. But that sacrifice was done even before they worshiped the laver. Sacrifice had to be made, paid before they can even get to the laver. Remember the positioning of the brazen altar before the laver. The sacrifice was made before. So again, blood washes sin away, not water. So there we have the proper candidate. They must be saved before baptism. Now let's go to the authority, proper authority. John chapter 1. I'm going to get through this. John chapter 1. Pages are different. Brother, we're back to Brother Lucas. Verses 6 through 8. John chapter 1.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same bear witness of the light, that all men thought through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
Okay, so this is introducing us to John the Baptist, which we've already said that John, he was given the authority from God to prepare a people for the Lord to baptize. We've kind of already looked into that. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. If I could have Sister Lonnie read that.
The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send a messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and preached a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of truthful men were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey.
Through verse 8.
And preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, that he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
Okay, thank you. Again, as John always did, he always pointed everyone to Jesus. John was not one to take the limelight. He recognized what his purpose was. But we're speaking here of authority. He had the authority, direct from God. Today, who has the authority to baptize? Church, part of that commission we're going to look at. So, just as no one, they couldn't go to anyone else besides John, today, people can't go anywhere other than one of the New Testament churches to be truly baptized. Just put that in there. We know that other denominations have some form of baptism. They call it baptism, but if it's not truly recognized by God, is it really baptism? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Isaiah 40, verse 3. Sister Kathy, if you can read that. Isaiah 40, verse 3.
The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, and strength in the desert, a highway for our God.
Okay, thank you. You know, God knew exactly what he was doing when he called John, because he needs somebody loud, maybe somewhat obnoxious, a little out of the ordinary. You know, he dressed in weird stuff and ate weird things. But it caught people's attention. God knew exactly what was needed, because how many years had the world been going along in a certain way, just with, the law of Moses, and now this was something different coming along. And the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. You know, I just get a picture of a loud person that's crying out wherever he's going, and that's what it took. See what? Yeah. Like a trumpet. Yeah. Something new coming in and getting everyone's attention. And he did a wonderful job. Malachi chapter 3 also. Malachi 3. Malachi 3:1, Brother Ron.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts.
Okay, thank you. Just as John the Baptist was heralding in a new message, sometimes I wonder if the world still needs that today, needs more John the Baptist. We need to be more like John the Baptist, I guess what I'm trying to say. Herald in the message that the world seems to be shutting out, or Satan seems to have a good way of confusing and shutting out of the minds of people today. We're going to go ahead and stop here. Good point. We'll continue our look at proper authority next week. There we have a future teacher.
Yeah.
Hopefully none of this is really new. It shouldn't be, but hopefully it's not boring and of no use. Something we all should know. We should know our ordinances, that we, why we stand for them, be able to go to use verses and scriptures, and people knock on our door to explain exactly what baptism is really truly all about. Thank you for your input. Let's go ahead and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this class time, for all the classes, Father. We ask you to be with the remainder of the service now this evening. We just thank you for your word that we have in our lives, Father, that you left us. And we thank you for church here, Father. Continue to be with it. We thank you for the week of BBS, the effort there, the homes we were able to reach, Father, the seeds that we're planting. Just be with Brother Doug and his ministry, and help us to follow him as he follows you, and to be with the work of the whole also, and especially with Camp Kenneth as we gather for that week. Thank you for your son this evening. We ask these things in his precious name. Amen. Amen.
BTC, welcome to worship this evening, number 120 in the Heavenly Highway. Let's stand on the last verse, 120.